And the orchestra are making their way back to their places. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 3. As we come to our text this morning, I have chosen a message that I wanted to preach here today entitled, The Lion of God, Judges chapter 3. And again, it's good to see you. And I trust that even next week, let me just mention that we are having a special emphasis, Memorial Day weekend on Sunday, and we're going to be having a patriotic day. And again, trying to encourage you to remember those who have sacrificed for us. I think these weeks are important for us. And I thought about especially all of our law enforcement this week out in our nation's capital was National Police Week. And how that they certainly deserve the honor and they need to be honored. And those in our service as well that serve as first responders, how important they are. And I trust not just simply today, but throughout even your year, as you think about it, as you happen to see them. I did it just even this last week. Every time I see somebody that is serving in one of these capacities, I make sure I thank the military as well. You know, again, I happen to think that we take for granted those who have sacrificed so much for us, and we certainly appreciate them, some of them being in attendance with us here this morning. Judges chapter 3, would you please stand and just follow along as I read our text, beginning with verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgat the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to learn some important lessons this morning as we consider this man, Othniel. I pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. It was in 1890 that Polish pianist Jan Paderewski was beginning his career. As a concert pianist, one of his first concerts was to be in London, England, very premier place. But he was unsure about himself, and so he decided that he would maybe try and get a letter of recommendation from a highly acclaimed musician and musical authority. And so he asked this person, said, "Listen, would you give me a letter of recommendation?" It was his just in case he didn't do well, he could pull this out and say, "Please give me another chance." And so this musician wrote the letter. And Jan Paderewski went and he had his debut in London. It was a success. He didn't need to pull the letter out, and so he just tucked it away. But years later, he was going through and rummaging through some things that he had, some possessions, and he came across that letter that was still sealed. And so he thought, after many years, now he's a successful pianist, he's well known and one of the greatest musicians of his time, but he decided to open the letter that he had written on his behalf just in case he needed a letter of recommendation. To his surprise, when he opened the letter, it said this: "This will introduce Jan Paderewski, who plays the piano, for which he demonstrates no conspicuous talent." In other words, it's a good thing he didn't have to rely on that letter. You know, I find in the Bible that we have a lot of individuals that gain instant notoriety and success. And some of them are very familiar to us, are Abrahams and Moses, and we've got, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ most of all. But once in a while, we come across some of these characters who just don't seem to give us any idea of their success. We don't even know about them. Oftentimes, they are the unknowns. And yet, it's one of those individuals this morning that I think deserves a second look. You see, Othniel is a man who I believe was a great man. And as we consider him this morning, we want to look at who was this man. In the first place, he was a man who was given a big name. His parents gave him his name. And you have to understand, in Bible days, whenever they named their children, that was a very monumental thing. It was oftentimes a projection. Oftentimes it became even a predictor of their success. Such was the man, Othniel. His parents gave him this name. His name literally means Lion of God. Now, why in the world would parents name their child Othniel, Lion of God? I happen to believe, by the way, context. My theory is this, that if you study the context, you'll know that this is in the time of Judges, and you've got a man, even Caleb, and that you've got a time following the children of Israel when they enter the promised land. And I believe that Othniel probably was born prior to the time when Joshua and the children of Israel, when they entered the promised land, and a time when they remembered that there was a lot of people who did not have courage and bravery. You see, after all, that this man is related to Caleb. Caleb is his uncle. And as such, I can imagine that as Kenaz, the brother, younger brother of Caleb, as he has this child, I can imagine in his thinking, you know what? Listen, I remember when our nation was a nation of chickens. I can remember when we got to that place called Kadesh Barnea, a place where we had a choice to make. And the choice should have been trust God and go forward. That's what Caleb said. That's what Joshua said. But you remember the story of the 12 spies? 10 were bad and 2 were good. And why was that the majority happened to follow the 10 spies and they happened to have no faith in God? And on that day, there were 2 men that magnified God and minimized the giants, but the 10 spies magnified the giants and they minimized God. You know, we live in a day in which case we oftentimes, we magnify the wrong things. We glorify the wrong things. I believe one of the reasons why this man got his name was because his parents wanted to never forget the time when we needed to magnify God. They gave him a name. What was that name? It was the Lion of God. By the way, he was from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was the lion tribe, the tribe that literally was depicted. Jacob, when he even prophesied about the tribes, the sons, his 12 sons, he said in Genesis 49 verse 9 that Judah is a lion's whelp. And so even pictured this tribe, their insignia became the lion. I can imagine the Kenaz and his wife, when they gave birth to this little boy, they dreamed big things for him, but they wanted him to grow up just like Caleb. They wanted him to grow up with a lion-like faith, a bold faith, a faith that was rooted in God. But secondly, consider, here is a man who had family heroes. He had family heroes. You know, we all have our heroes, don't we? There's some that they have their heroes are those who play sports. And there's others that their heroes are the actresses and the actors that portray on Hollywood screens. We have those who have as their heroes those who may serve and be very famous out there in the world politically. But you know, can I just simply say that we've actually even been graced this morning with some heroes that are closer to home. You know, I think about these men that stood, and by the way, they represent just a fraction, but everybody who has served, and these men that bravely serve, the women that serve in our law enforcement, those who served in the dispatch center, and those who serve as first responders like Brother Bernarding and others, those men and those women, they deserve to even be lifted up. I believe that heroes are oftentimes closer to home. We sometimes make heroes out of those that we'll never see, and yet every day there's a mom, there's a dad, and there's maybe a brother, a sister, there are those, a teacher, a coach, and sometimes those that are closer to home, those are the ones we ought to have as heroes. Here we've got a man who had family heroes. Who was his hero? I believe his hero certainly was his father, but his hero also was a man by the name of Caleb. Now, you know Caleb. Caleb is one of those great heroes of the faith. He's one of those men that just literally, whenever you hear his name, you instantly think about, here's a man I want to follow. Here's a man who's courageous. Here's a man who's bold. A man who, along with Joshua, was willing to stand against the entire nation and tell them what was right. You realize, by the way, that story when Joshua and Caleb, the two of the 12 spies, came back, and when the 10 spies gave their negative report, And Joshua and Caleb gave the faith report. We can follow God. God is going to give us the victory. It was Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says, along with Moses, that the people were ready to stone to death. And yet Caleb stood. He was courageous. He was bold. He was willing to take his stand. He was willing to do what was right. You know, Caleb was rewarded for that. The Bible tells us that following that decision at Kadesh Barnea, the children of Israel, those that were 20 years of age and older, that they were forced to wander for 40 years and die off in the wilderness. But not the two faithful men. Not Joshua, not Caleb. Caleb was allowed to wander and enter the promised land. And at 85 years of age, we even see in the beginning of the book of Joshua, as Caleb, this faithful man, is allowed to enter the promised land. And we get that spirit when he basically says, I want a mountain and I want a giant and I'm 85 years of age and yet I'm still strong, I'm still kicking. I want to take on some big challenge. That's the man that Caleb was. He was a man who desired to do some great things. By the way, last week I told you a story about a faithful praying mother. Mother of a man by the name of Orville Gardner, whose nickname was Awful. Well, I want to tell you another similar story this morning, because in 1849, there was a Christian mother who was burdened for her 17-year-old son. And in spite of the fact that her son grew up in a Christian home, her husband was a lay preacher preaching the gospel. In spite of that, her son had turned away from God. He had become a skeptic. He had become somebody who basically didn't believe in God, didn't believe in Jesus. And he had begun to get cold in his thinking and distant from all of that. And she got burdened. And so it is said that this dear mother on a certain day was 50 miles away from home. She was visiting her sister, but she determined on that day, her heart was so burdened, she knelt down at noontime and said, I'm not getting up off of my knees until this boy gets saved. And she began to pray. By the way, at the same time, this boy's sister likewise did the very same thing and got on her knees and had been praying for weeks and months for her brother to get saved. These two together began to pray at a certain time on a certain day for this brother to get saved. Well, as it turned out, that brother was actually back in the house, back home. And he didn't have anything to do, and so he was just simply wandering through the house. And his father, being a lay preacher, had a whole basket full of pamphlets and tracts. And he picked one of those up and began to just simply read it, thinking, well, listen, this will maybe at least have a story that will be interesting. He didn't believe the Bible, but as he began to read that tract, the Word of God began to prick his heart. And it wasn't long before all of a sudden he got under conviction. And all of a sudden, he realized the truth. And he realized that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior. And that young man, 17 years of age, a skeptic at the time, he turned his heart and he trusted Christ as his Savior. He got saved. By the way, that young man was none other than, in fact, this is actually the name. The mother's name, her maiden name, is the name that she gave to her son. Her maiden name was Hudson. And the son that I just described was none other than Hudson Taylor. The missionary who went to China, who established what was called the China Inland Mission. Now it's been called the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. But you realize that by the turn of the century, the 1900s, that Hudson Taylor had been responsible for bringing some 100 missionaries to inland China. And I can tell you this, that those who know the facts realize that much of the evangelization that has happened in China in the last 150, 200 years has taken place, I just told you, because of a praying mother, a praying sister. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is this, that sometimes we have the wrong heroes. Sometimes I think the heroes are those who can lift the most, those who can run the fastest, those who may have the most money, those who may be famous as far as the world may be considered. But listen, I'm saying, why not have some heroes closer to home? Why not have some heroes in our homes? Why not have some heroes in our community? And this man, Othniel, he was a man who had a hero by the name of Caleb. But thirdly, I want you to know he's a man who is willing to accept a challenge. Take your Bible and turn back to Judges chapter 1. Because in Judges chapter 1, as Caleb entered the promised land, the Bible tells us that, of course, they were divvying up, they were dividing the land, the property that was granted to them by God. As they entered the promised land, the Bible says that he received a certain portion, a portion that included Hebron and the mount and all of that land there of Judah. But there was one place that even Caleb, the bold, courageous, strong man, found he needed help with. It's a place called Kirjath Sefer. It's also known by the name of Debir. And this city resisted capture. It resisted. It proved to be even too strong, too defensible for Caleb to even overcome. And so notice in verse number 12 that Caleb puts out an ad. In verse number 12, he says, Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it to him, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Now, Caleb had a daughter. I can imagine, by the way, this was his pride and joy. That this was his girl. This was his daughter. That this was somebody that he had poured himself into. And we find that here, Othniel, the Bible says that he hears that here's the situation, that if you will conquer this city, that you can get Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And so Othniel decides, well, listen, I want that. I want to marry her. And so he does the thing that was hard to do. By the way, you might be here this morning, and you might be facing a mountain. You might be facing a giant of a problem. You might be facing a city, so to speak, that nobody else has conquered, but I'm here to tell you that God can help you. And you can conquer with God's help. Now, I think about, by the way, that song that describes even the strongholds that come down. That song, I love that little chorus, says, "God, any rivers you think are uncrossable? God, any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what none else can do." You know, that's the spirit of Othniel. That's the spirit of Caleb, to simply see some difficult things ahead. And some of you, it might be health related. Some of you, it might be your marriage. Some of you, it might be your finances. Some of it might be your children. It might be your job. But whatever the circumstance is, I'm here to tell you that God can help you do some big things. Othniel was such a man. By the way, we ought to think about verses in the Bible, such as Philippians 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know, one of the reasons why you and I need to be in church more is, I think, to encourage Othniels. I think you and I need to realize that we've got a ministry in a day and age in which it's awfully discouraging. One of the things I love, by the way, is when I come to church, I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel more encouraged. Hopefully, by the way, that's the case. Hopefully that you didn't come this morning and feel all discouraged to go out and just simply lay in bed. I hope you feel encouraged. You know what the Bible says a purpose of church is? Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You see, you and I, it's more than just simply getting together and meeting. But we ought to strengthen, we ought to encourage, we ought to be like Caleb to Othniel. And Othniel, I believe, by the way, that it was a mutual thing. You know, sometimes, by the way, I think that's one of the great things that we need to recognize in a church. Old, young, together. That the old can inspire the young. The young can inspire the old. Here we got a situation where that took place. Here is an Othniel who got on fire for God because he had an uncle who was on fire for God. And the two of them, that they literally helped to encourage each other. But I want you to consider number four, that we got a man who was wise. A man who was wise. And I happen to believe that Othniel, demonstrates his wisdom over and over again. Why do I say that Othniel was a wise man? Well, let me give you a couple of points. In the first case, he used spiritual incentives to motivate him. Now, I said spiritual incentives. Listen, everybody gets motivated by something. But for Othniel, it wasn't physical. It wasn't food. It wasn't, you know, something, you know, like money, but it was something spiritual. And I happen to believe, by the way, one of the spiritual incentives that motivated him was the land that God had promised. You see, even besides the fact that he's getting a wife out of this, consider the fact that here God had promised them all of the land to conquer. When his uncle Caleb had one little city that he couldn't overcome, I believe that Othniel, with the same spirit that Caleb had, that he said, listen, God promised that city too. And listen, uncle, we're going to see it together, that God is going to do the same thing for you that you said he was going to do for the nation some 40 years ago. And so he said, we want that mountain and we want that city. We want that land, claiming the promises of God. Oh, you and I, we need to claim all that God has for us. I believe it was a spiritual reason. But secondly, I believe he was wise because he wanted to marry a godly woman. And by definition, when I say a godly woman, I'm talking about a woman who had a vision like his uncle Caleb. You know, she was literally a chip off the old block. She had the same spirit. She had the same spunk. She had the boldness. She didn't want to settle for little things. She wanted to settle for God-sized things. That's the spirit that he wanted to be married to. Notice, we find even in verse number 14, the Bible says, and it came to pass when she came to him, that is, now Othniel, her husband, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, her donkey, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? Verse number 15, and he said unto her, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now what this is literally a father giving his daughter an inheritance. And this father giving, she's the child, she's the descendant of his. And so she says, father, listen, I'm getting married, but listen, you've given me some land, but listen, land is worthless if it doesn't have some water. So she said, give me one that's got some springs. Give me some land that's got some water. And by the way, that is true. That's been true since man has been on the earth. Man has always sought. That's why we've got so much here in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. You know why? One of the reasons why we come here, it's not just simply to be frozen. It's because we've got a lot of good water. Places to go fishing, places, good water to drink, and good water that's beautiful to even walk around, even, sometimes just simply getting away to some of our beautiful parks. I'm simply saying that here was a lady who understood that she didn't want to just simply settle for just some land. She wanted land and water. And she said, listen, Dad, I don't want to just simply have just the land, but I want you to give me some water. I want to have some springs. And so the Bible says that Caleb gave her not just simply springs, but he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Boy, this was a girl who got what she wanted. That's why Othniel took a look and said, listen, that's the kind of girl for me. That's the kind of wife I want. I want to have a wife with that kind of a spirit. Oh, there's so much we can learn from Othniel. But third, let me say that he was ready to serve God in an even bigger way. In Judges chapter 3, as we read our text this morning, our text describes a situation that develops even after Othniel has gotten married and after his family has been established, after he's been in the land for a little bit of time. Because the Bible tells us the nation has now fallen into disrepair and disobedience and into a captivity of sorts. There's a man, as the book of Judges basically describes, sin and sin's result. Because it always happens this way. There's always a price to sin. And if you don't serve God, if you don't exalt God, then you're going to basically get God taken out of your life. And when God's out of the way, all of a sudden there rises these nations and these kings. And by the way, that is a great lesson for us to learn here in our country. My Bible still says this in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, we will be free as long as God allows us to be free. Don't think for a second that we hold the key to our freedom in our hands. Our very existence is in his hands. You know, that's why this nation of Israel, whenever they began to forget about God, then God says, listen, then I'll let the nations come against you. There's a certain man, the Bible tells us, look at verse number 7, Judges chapter 3, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Now again, keep in mind, this is God's nation, this is Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Now, there's a bad guy in this story. This bad guy's name is Chushan-Rishathaim. There's, interestingly, a meaning to that name that is very profound. His name means doubly black wicked. Doubly black wicked. In other words, I mean, if you could have a more evil name, I don't know what it would be. Doubly black wicked. Now, by the way, who does that remind you of? Can you think of anybody who's doubly wicked? Can you think of anybody who's evil? Can you think about anybody who's evil? I'll tell you who that reminds me of. That reminds me of the devil. In other words, now I don't believe, by the way, this man was the devil, but I believe he had a name that reminds us of Satan. He had a name that reminds us of all of the evil that originates in that one who opposes God constantly. Notice verse number 9 says this, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, by the way, eventually here, when you get away from God and eventually when you are serving your false gods, eventually you're going to get fed up. That's exactly what happened with children of Israel. They got tired of serving this evil man. They got tired of being in captivity, and so they cried unto the Lord. By the way, somebody once said it this way, that sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Now, you want to realize it's not a good thing to serve Satan in sin. Notice, and when the children of Israel cried to the Lord raised up. By the way, the Lord is the one who raises up deliverers. The Lord is the one who brings the saviors. Notice, a deliverer to the children of Israel. Who delivered them? Who? Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Now, if you stop and think about it, this is actually very fitting. Because after all, this man is just a man. But I believe in a profound way, he prepares us for a lesson. You see, there is a picture that is brought by this man, Othniel, and that is that he reminds us of the Savior to come. You see, here he's called a deliverer. But what is the who is the Savior? Now, I'm speaking, of course, about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's at least 4 ways in which Othniel pictures Jesus Christ. He's not Jesus, just like Chushan-Rishathaim is not the devil. But they picture for us, again, that what is the ultimate conflict? The ultimate conflict is going to be Jesus against Satan. Good, so to speak, versus evil. Good, God and good against Satan and evil. And so you see 4 ways that Othniel pictures Christ. He delivers the people of God. He delivers Israel from his hand. There are 4 ways. First of all, as already mentioned, his name. After all, he is called Othniel, meaning the Lion of God. You know that Jesus Christ is described as being the Lion? In Revelation 5 and verse number 5, if you know your Bibles, you know that the book of Revelation predicts that one day the Savior will return. And he's described in Revelation 5 verse 5 when it says this, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed." Not only his name, but secondly, he pictures Christ with his motivation, a spiritual reason. Remember, I said that I believe that Othniel, one of the reasons why he conquered that city, Kirjath-Jepher, is because he had a motivation that he wanted to conquer that which belonged to God and God's people. He had a spiritual reason. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ conquered so that you and I, if we would believe, could belong to God. And not belong to sin, not belong to Satan. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2 says this, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." My Bible says this in Romans 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In a story that was set in the frontier days, it is said that there was a young man and a young lady who got married. And on their wedding day, they were so excited as they vowed their vows before family and friends, little country church. And after the wedding was finished, they got in a carriage pulled by some horses, and they're going to be off on their honeymoon. But something happened, a tragedy, as something spooked the horses. And as all of a sudden the horses began to gallop, all of a sudden the reins were lost, and all of a sudden you had this carriage with this couple, bride and groom, that's literally rampaging down the road and almost going over a cliff. Well, it just so happened that the grooms kind of jumped into action, and he jumped from the carriage where the bride was, and he jumped onto the tongue that was holding the horses, and in between the horses, as he crept his way up and then all of a sudden planted his feet down, he brought those horses to rest. But in the meantime, his grip slipped and he fell beneath the horses before they stopped. When the crowd that was tormented by this sight, seeing this bride and groom just galloping away, as they caught up to them, they found a bride that was weeping as she was holding in her arms a bleeding, dying husband. They had just been married a few moments. As the husband looked up to his bride, he was heard to say these words, his dying words. He said, "I loved you, didn't I?" You see, he demonstrated sacrifice of lives, shows the greatest amount of love. And you know, that's exactly why I know Jesus loves me, because Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So listen, we realize that Othniel here pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's willing here to claim that which belongs to God. He's willing to sacrifice himself for his people. Not only that, but Othniel waited until the right moment for God to use him publicly. You know, again, up until this time, he's really not that much of a hero, a well-known figure. Sure, he has taken a city for his uncle, but the people don't know him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ waited until he was 30 years of age to begin his public ministry. But all I'm here to tell you, when he began his ministry, miracles happened, people were healed, the dead were raised back to life, things happened and things were said, and during that time, but Jesus waited until the right time. Let me give you the final point, because Othniel served with the power of the Spirit of God. Notice in verse number 10, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Lord delivered him into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Shushan, Rishathaim. Verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. You know, it's interesting. Tradition tells us that Othniel's grave is located just a little ways away from the graves of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There in Hebron, in fact, if you would go to, as I have had the privilege of doing, very few have, Hebron, Israel, is still a little bit of a dicey place to visit. Of course, the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, oftentimes, it gets to be very heated there, even especially in Hebron. And yet it's within the Jewish section of Hebron that Othniel's grave, it is believed, is found. What am I saying? I'm saying that God wants some Othniels today. I'm saying that here's a man that gets short time with us, but really we need to look at him a little bit more closely, because there ought to be some lions of God. Now, there ought to be some men and some women that today say, listen, I want to have some God-sized dreams, and I want to do some God-sized things, and I want to be like my Uncle Caleb. Listen, we ought to learn to have good heroes, and we ought to learn to encourage one another. And so I'm so glad again that we are graced with these men that serve and really are heroes to us. Let's make sure that we capture the spirit of Othniel. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for this story. What a great character. I think so many times we just jump right over some of these great men and great women in the Bible. Lord, they don't get the respect they deserve. Very few messages ever preached about men like Othniel. But Lord, at one time, he was the hero of Israel. First judge. First one that delivered the people. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see some more Othniels. Some men, some women who rise up and have that spirit. That spirit that says, I want to do some great things for God. Lord, as we even told the story about the mother of Hudson Taylor this morning, Lord, help us to have some praying moms and praying dads and some godly men, godly women in this church. Lord, help us to have a community that we are extolling virtue and we are encouraging right. Lord, I thank you for this day and, Lord, for this message that we could preach. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. It begins with a relationship that begins and really is told by John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let me encourage you to make that decision this morning. If you'd like to have somebody talk to you, pray with you, we certainly would invite you to come forward. Maybe you want to come and pray at this altar. Maybe God spoke to you this morning and you had within your heart a desire, I want to be an Othniel. Or maybe you heard this morning, I need to have some heroes closer to home. Oh, that's the story. That's the story of Othniel, the Lion of God. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come. God is speaking to your heart.